In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, now that I've just been thoroughly embarrassed and schooled in colors, let's talk about purification, the law, and sanctification, because that seems to me like a great way to start the year. Honestly, when I think about this last year, my sister's Happy New Year text actually rings true 100%. And I quote, "Happy New Year. Let's hope part three is better than the first two parts of the trilogy." If we're truthful, 2020 and 2021 has been a bumpy ride. I will say that it has actually been really quite wonderful in this church family. But as soon as you go out those doors, it is crazy out there. And if I'm going to be completely honest with you all, I am a realist. I'm not an optimist. At one point, I was a pessimist. That's because I have three older siblings. But that became a little too depressing for me, so I had to become more real. And when I really look at something, and my logical mind looks at what's going on, it just says, I give up. It makes no sense at all. And it often seems like we take one step forward in society and then jump, hop back 3 to 4 to 5 paces. And that's why I think that it's important this year to start off talking about the law. Boo. Purification. That's interesting. And sanctification. So in today's gospel, we hear about the presentation of Jesus at the temple. But before that, there's a little tiny, almost footnote that says that Jesus was circumcised on the 8th day, and that is according to the law. And the law found in Leviticus 12, specifically. And as we know, circumcision is the first sign of the everlasting covenant between the Lord and Abraham and his descendants. Specifically for the land. But it's a physical sign of an eternal promise. It sets them apart. It's the first sign of being set apart, which is sanctification, and it's being set apart for the Lord. So that's right before this passage where Jesus is presented at the temple. And now, following the law, we come to that presentation of the Messiah in the temple. So let's read the gospel again. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, Luke, being a historian, likes to mention these things, and he gives a little bit of an explanation of what's going on. You know, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Or we have the sacrifice according to the law, and then he tells you what the law is, 2 turtle doves. Specifically, he's talking about Leviticus 12 again. 12:4. Leviticus 12:4 says about a mother who's just given birth. She shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying. She shall not touch anything holy, nor come into the sanctuary till the days of her purifying are completed. So that's 40 days after giving birth, Jesus is presented in the table, in the temple, according to the law. Now, specifically, there are 7 days after birth where the woman is super unclean. Okay? I'm using the word super. I don't know of a better word to say it. She's more unclean than she normally would be unclean. And what's fascinating, and when I say normally, I need to preface that with a lot of the laws have to do with biology, shall we say. Okay? So once for a week or so, a month, a woman would be unclean. An instance where a man would be unclean is if he laid with his wife. Having marital relations made both of you unclean, and then you'd have to be purified to come into the presence of the Lord. Specifically, though, we're talking about the birth. And what we see here right at the get-go, and this is why the law is important for this passage specifically, is that in every single thing, Mary and Joseph put themselves under the law. They are fulfilling the requirements of the law for their son that they will be raising, who happens to be Jesus, our Messiah. The other thing that Luke mentions is that every male, every firstborn who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. He's actually specifically referencing Exodus 13:2. And this is the Lord speaking to Israel, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine. I bet you're wondering, what is it that I'm getting at here? Well, we're going to get there. Don't worry. Stick with me. According to the law, Jesus is set apart for the Lord's use. He is the firstborn of Mary, his mother. Now, think of this when I read what St. Paul writes in Colossians 1:15. He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Not only is he the firstborn of Mary, he's the firstborn of all creation. As John says, nothing was made without him. He's like the uber firstborn, the uber set apart one. He is the Lamb. And in all of their actions, following the law, Mary and Joseph exemplify what it is to be faithful believers. Here's a fascinating note. There are two different types of offerings available to be offered for the firstborn. One is for more wealthy families, and one is for those who are poor. Specifically, a wealthy family would offer a year-old lamb and a turtle dove or a pigeon. If you were poor, you would offer two turtle doves or two pigeons. Those offerings are not important, though. They're both equal in the Lord's view. It just depends on the situation of the family. There's no distinction between the poor or the rich here. They don't get a different type of blessing due to their offering. It's the same thing for both of them. As we can see, it's not what is offered, but it how it's offered. Each is to present their offering willingly and honestly before the Lord. Specifically, the law says that if a rich person offers a poor person's offering, it will be rejected. Doesn't bode well when the Lord rejects an offering. So we have the firstborn of all creation, the first son of Mary. And that family happens to be a poor family. And that family happens to be the family that our Messiah, the only Son of God, is born into. And when we say poor, we mean really poor. So that should put another spin on it when we read 2 Corinthians 2:8. 2 Corinthians 8:9, when St. Paul says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." He didn't just come down. The divine Son of God did not just come down and become a human with all the trappings of power and majesty, with a big house and a nice car and a posse. No, he came down into the dirt. In fact, his family was so poor they couldn't even find a room. It means they didn't even have extra family in Bethlehem. That's how poor they were. That's bottom of the barrel poor. And then you say, well, what about, what about those three kings? Well, if we actually read the scripture about those three kings come about probably like a year or two after Jesus is born. You see, at that point, Joseph and Mary are actually living in a house in Bethlehem when the kings come. And it's really thanks to those Gentiles that they are able, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, to escape Herod and go to Egypt. You see, otherwise, if the kings had come first, Joseph and Mary would have offered a different type of sacrifice. But it's not important for St. Paul to write about that because it was already written in other scriptures. And that's actually why he omits that and says, and they go back home and he grows in wisdom and filled with wisdom and the favor of God was upon him. That's how he ends that passage, this passage. But we're not there yet. So he's in a small, poor family. He's the child of a lowly yet royal family. And yet he's God's own son made flesh. I don't know how more poor you could become from going from the only begotten son in heaven who created everything to a poor child in Bethlehem. I don't see how it's possible to go any lower than that to raise us up. But that's not the end of the story. Verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. We're going to stop there. Simeon is not mentioned anywhere else that I know of. Simeon is a model of waiting with faithful expectation. St. Luke writes that Simeon was righteous and devout, filled with the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, there are very few people before Jesus who are ever described like that. In fact, you could say that Simeon and Anna are in the line of prophets. In fact, Anna, who's mentioned later, is a prophetess. But the way in which Simeon is described is the way in which most of the prophets in the Old Testament were described as well. Filled with the Holy Spirit, righteous and devout. And let's be honest, there were many who were waiting for the coming Messiah at this time. Israel was not in a good place. They had done the math. They figured the Messiah is coming at some point real soon. But they had spent 400 years, depending on what tribe you're in, conquered under the boot of oppression. Israel was in trouble. So a lot of people were looking for that Messiah. And the Messiah is expected, because we have the prophet Jeremiah from today's reading saying, "For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and redeemed him from the hands too strong for him." The Lord's going to show up. He's going to break those bonds. He's going to save you. That's what the people are waiting for. But it hadn't happened yet. It was promised, and that's what they're waiting for. And let's remember what I just said. Simeon is described as righteous and devout. There are very few people who are called that in the New Testament. But a lot of people were waiting with this expectation. Most of them would be Pharisees and Sadducees, or rabble-rousers as well. There were a couple riots and rebellions, and let's be honest, Israel got into a lot of trouble for such a small little country under Roman rule. But most of the Pharisees and Sadducees were pretty kind of legalistic and focused on the outward signs of following the law. And in Jesus' own words, they're like whitewashed tombs, pretty on the outside, but dead on the inside. These are the people who are waiting for him, though. These are his people. But Simeon, an older gentleman, is faithfully waiting, and the Holy Spirit is upon him. And we continue in the gospel. And he, Simeon, came in the Spirit. That means the Spirit is upon him, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God. According to the law. This keeps coming back and back and back. Both Jesus and Mary are set under the law. To fulfill the law and open the way for all people, Jesus had to be born within it to fulfill it. And that means that his parents had to do all the right things as parents in raising little Jesus. They also had to be faithful in that. Now, Simeon, filled with the Holy Spirit, recognizes and declares God's own son. Woo! At no point does Simeon say, now, what's his background? What kind of offering did you offer for him? Oh, it wasn't a lamb? That's not him. Jesus' social status has nothing to do with it. It is who he is, born to do what he's born to do. And Simeon's response to coming face to face with this Messiah is to praise the Lord. Do you know what hasn't changed in 2,000 years? The response when you come face to face with the Messiah. It is a life-changing experience. Do you know what's amazing? When you come face to face with the Messiah, it's not a one-time thing. He constantly pops in front of you and shakes up your life, because we are humans. We are working on being sanctified, being set apart. We are working on being purified so that we come into the presence clean, so that we can experience God the Father. And every single time we do that, we're supposed to praise the Lord, because he is good. He's done it, not us. And you know, Simeon praises the Lord because the consolation of Israel is at hand. And we praise the Lord because we've been brought into the family. And how Simeon praises the Lord is this way. And it's actually one of my favorite passages. We actually use it in two of our daily offices. If you don't know what a daily office is, we have morning prayer, noon prayer, evening prayer, Compline. And in evening prayer and in Compline, both of them have this praise. And it reminds me of when I was little, there was a prayer, and I'm not really good at remembering it. They helped me at 8 o'clock. But it goes, As I lay myself to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I can't remember the rest, but you know what I'm talking about. See? Ah, yes. It's much like that. This is what that prayer is. So this is what Simeon praises the Lord with. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Wow. Wow. At the end of the day, we should be able to pray that. You see, when we come face to face with our Messiah, it shouldn't be like a one-off thing. At the end of each day, we should be able to pray what Simeon prayed, because he's made it available to us through his actions. Through this prayer, we see a couple things. First, we see the faith that Simeon had. It could not have been easy whatsoever to wait as long as he did. We don't know how old he was, but we can tell, at least from stories and tradition, that he was an older gentleman. And it's more than likely that he had been told by the Holy Spirit way before this that he wasn't going to die until he had seen the Messiah. And he faithfully continued to go to the temple. And he was devout in the way in which he worshipped. It was a long time, and yet Simeon knew that redemption was at hand. He was ready for it. Secondly, we see that Simeon's death held nothing for him. It was not a wish for death that the depressed and downtrodden seek. He wasn't giving up. It was a celebration. He was going to be able to see his Savior and his God. It was a promise that death wasn't going to be painful. Sure, maybe in this plane of existence, in this body, it might hurt. But he had seen our Savior made flesh. He held him in his arms, and he knew that he was going to be free. That's what his death held for him. A church father-ish, he wrote some good stuff first, so then he kind of went a little wonky. But Origen writes, and this is a good thing, Origen writes that Simeon knew that no one could release a man from the prison of the body with the hope of life to come except the anointed one whom he enfolded with his arms. I just love that picture. He's holding Jesus, his Savior, the person who will release him from the toil and trouble of this life. And he praises the Lord. I wish we could all hold baby Jesus at one time, but baby Jesus is only baby Jesus for a little while. But we do get to go and enfold Christ in our arms. We run to him like a child who's fallen. Say, hey, I've fallen, I need help. I've scraped my arms and my knees. I need you to bandage me. I need you to pick me up. We get to do that because Jesus, the divine one, the Son of God, became poor so that we could be made rich. You see, Simeon embodied that faith and that hope that we as believers should have in Jesus. When we come before the salvation of mankind, our life should never be the same. In fact, our life is made completely different from it, because death has no hold upon Simeon, and death has no hold upon us. Yes, this mortal coil is with us right now, but it's not a black void. It's not empty when faith in Christ is involved. Nothing is to be feared except going into the embrace of our loving Father. And that's not something to be afraid of. True love for you and for me. True forgiveness for me especially and for you. That's what's being offered. And this is what Simeon is now openly giving thanks to and proclaiming. The Messiah has come. The way is being opened. And remember, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. I am a Gentile. Adopted. Grafted on, as St. Paul writes, into the family of Christ. So sanctification, what does that mean for us? Being sanctified says we're being set apart and made holy for the Lord. Purification, we are being washed of our sins. Specifically, the blood of Christ washes us of our sins. Makes salvation available to us. And salvation has come. Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. Purification is important. We have to do it with a contrite heart that says, I actually feel bad about what I did. I'm going to say it again. When we confess our sins, we actually need to say, I feel bad about this. And then we actually have to listen to what Scripture says, is that when we do that, the Lord actually forgives you. And then you have to let it go. You have to let it go. Because the more often you hold on to that feeling of worthless sinning, you're more likely to fall back into it. And then you feel even worse about yourself. Then you do it again and again and again. Now, when we accept that forgiveness that is offered to us free of charge, we are washed clean. And yeah, we're going to fall down and scuff our knees on something else, but he's going to pick us right back up. We say sorry, and we work towards that sanctification and purification. And at the end of our days, hopefully, we get to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Here's a great reminder, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Give up on your old self. Hold Jesus in your arms. In fact, let him hold you in his arms. Be remade this year. We're new. Let's rededicate ourselves to living righteously and devoutly. I can't think of a higher honor than saying he was a righteous man. He was a devout man. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be a celebrity. I don't want $1 million, though it would be helpful. But I don't want $1 million. I want to be a righteous man in God's eyes. I want to be devout in his mind. You know, Psalm 81:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Following God is not a pity party sentence. I actually get good things from it. So when we come to the time of confession today, let us actually think about where we fell short, where we broke that relationship with God, and let's give it to the Lord. And then when his absolution, his, not mine, his absolution is proclaimed over you, accept it. And this year, let's live into living for him. Let us use Anna and Simeon as models. You see, when we are righteous and devout, when we live into that, we join a host of witnesses. In fact, St. Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let us this year live and act like the heirs we are called to be. Let's share and proclaim salvation has come. The way is open. It doesn't have to be on the street corner. It can be as simple as being nice to people. You would be amazed at some of the comments I have heard just because I was nice in the HEB checkout lane. I'm not even joking. It boggles my mind what is going on out there. And even with that, we are showing that we are different. And you know, every time we look a little different, every time we act a little different from everybody else, some people will go, why is that? Let's do that. Instead of pity what the first two parts of this trilogy have been at this point, let's live into what the Lord has made available to us. Salvation, inheritance, eternal life. I'm going to leave you with the psalmist's words. Psalm 84, verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed are the ones who trust in you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.